Today, I think it's timely. So with that, let's go to God in prayer once more. God, we come for you again. We thank you, Lord God, for your beautiful day today to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth, God. We ask, God, that you'll be with us and be with this message, God, and be with our pastor as well, Father, and be with all of the preachers that's preaching righteousness today, Lord. We pray that you'll please bless and guide us in all that we do, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, title of my sermon today is The Coming Deception, the UFO Hoax, Spiritual and Physical Implications for Christians. Ephesians 6, 12-24, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. For those who don't know me, just for the people in internet land, and give you a little intro of about me. First, I'm going to start off with my childhood. I was born in basically in the middle of the killing fields, which is the forgotten Holocaust, which I deem it as the time period of the mid-70s to late 70s, 1975 to 1979, where almost 2 million people died during the communist takeover of my country, Cambodia. I come from a Buddhist background. My dad, my uncle, they're Buddhist monks. They know how to do things like black magic and casting spells and such like that. So I grew up in that type of situation where my dad could summon a spirit if he wanted to. But even with all that, God in his mercy was able to be, I think, protected us in the whole ordeal of escaping the communist regime. Even when I was a little baby, my mother recalled when she was escaping and running back to Cambodia from Thailand, she fell into a ditch, a deep one that she couldn't get out of. And all of a sudden, you know, not all of a sudden, but overnight, when the rain stopped falling and everything like that, when she fell into the ditch, she managed to throw me before she fell in with me. So I was near the ditch, but she was in the ditch. And she couldn't get out. She was struggling. It was raining. It was muddy and all that stuff. She couldn't get out, and she was in there for overnight. But then the next morning, the sunshine was shining like this, and she said that somehow a man just reached out with a stick and helped her out. And when she got out, you know, she got hold of me, and then she looked and tried to thank the man, but the man was gone, just like that. So from there, I could tell that God was with my family throughout this whole ordeal. There's many stories like that as well, too. But also with good spiritual things like that, that I believe it was an angel, with stuff happening like that, there's also bad things that happen that is more sinister in nature. And so fast forward to when I became a Christian, when I was around 19, 20 years old. Mind you, my dad's still a Buddhist. He still believes in all that stuff when I became a Christian. And shortly after I became a Christian, my sister also, my little sister, became a Christian. But she got into some stuff, whether it be marijuana, whether it be divination, whatnot, but she got into some stuff. And me being a young Christian saw that, and she was basically possessed. So the evil spirit got a hold of her, and for weeks on end, she was not herself. We had to go to an exorcist, you might say. We brought her to this church, and they tried to get the spirit out, and I witnessed with my own eyes her mocking and cussing at the preacher and saying in a deep voice and all that stuff. So I'm telling you all this to say that I have experience with these demonic influences after I became a Christian, before I became a Christian. So the Bible talks about a familiar spirit. And Saul used this spirit to help him basically contact the dead, right? And so just like my father was doing with familiar spirits, in regards to that, he was able to contact the dead. And at one point, he was able to contact the dead, basically a 500-year-old monk, so the spirit said, that was possessing my mother. So that is when I got saved before, right? Probably a year after I got saved, and that happened. And you know what? I asked that so-called spirit, that evil spirit, I asked him, how do you get saved? How do you get salvation? What is it all about? You know what he said? He said, Sopek, the way you get saved is just be a good person, live a good life, and just do right, and you'll be all right. So I knew right there that's an evil spirit, because he's talking falsehood. In Deuteronomy, it talks about, even if it's not an evil spirit, it talks about this prophet. Let's read it. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Notice it says, the signs and wonder come to pass, meaning whatever that prophet said, it came to pass, it came true. But the Bible says, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, even though he predicted whatever, even he said that that's going to come true, and he showed the sign and everything. The Bible says, if he is leading you away from God, do not hearken unto the words of the prophet. For the Lord God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. So even true things or perceived things that you could see with your eyes as being true, you should not follow it, because if it's leading you astray, you should not follow it. So in today's world, you know, we're living in an age of deception. Mainstream media, things you see on the news, things you see all around you, social media and all that stuff, it's all full of lies. So the Bible talks about the devil as the father of lies. In John 8:44-45, it says, ye are of your father, talking about to the Pharisees, and the lust of your father will ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So all the lies, I believe, spiritually and in the world, basically filters through the devil, because he's the father of lies. So in the last days, we know that God will also cause people to believe the delusion and the lies, because the Bible says, in 2 Thessalonians, and with all deceitfulness of all unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie. So it's not saying that God is the author of the lies. He's saying he's allowing delusions. He's sending strong delusions so that they would believe this lie. Just like the lies of the devil is telling us, and portraying this world, we're living in an age where, and this is part talking about not only in this age, but also in the tribulation period, it's going to be way worse than we could ever imagine now, because that veil is now basically broken, and basically all hell is going to break loose. So we encounter many lies in this world. Politicians or charlatans and preachers that preach lies and that only use it for filthy lucre. And so we are basically living in the world of lies and of authenticity, of counterfeit. So how do we discern what's true or not? The good thing is we know that what's true is because we have a Bible. You have this big old Bible right here. And we could know by reading it, by studying it, we could know that whatever we believe or we know, we filter through that Bible, then we can know what's true or not. The Bible talks about in these last days there's going to be preachers who are blind, according to Isaiah 56, 10 and 12. It says, his watchmen are blind, they are ignorant, they are dumb. They're all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, laying down, loving his slumber. So, with preacher being dumb, basically can't be able to talk the truth, there's going to be more lies and more deception, not only in the world, but also in the spiritual arena. So we talked about the devil being the father of lies. So we're only in March of 2023, but we've already seen a multitude of crises. We have basically on the verge of World War III. We have a banking crisis. We have food shortages. We have storms in California and tornadoes in Los Angeles. And everywhere you see, there are all sorts of different crises that are upon us. Additionally, we have China and the whole Russian attention, and we have talks of nuclear threats from Russia, and then World War III is basically happening right now via proxy, but soon it's going to be out in the open and be real. So here we see, just a few days ago, Wall Street Journal. Are we headed for World War III? Students discuss the threat of China invading Taiwan and the war in Ukraine and polarizing domestic politics. Are we heading for World War III? Yeah, just a few days ago, too, the week, March 24th, are we heading for World War III? U.S. fear China will provide lethal weapon to support Russia in Ukraine. Here again, in the Asia Times. World War III is already here. U.S. President and Russia President Vladimir Putin have fumbled into a new war. So war is already here in terms of a proxy. You know, we're fighting war through Ukraine and through NATO and all that stuff. So, but eventually it will lead to all-out war that we see, and we're going to be sending troops and such. Again, just a few hours, a few days ago, nuclear threats, posturing and such. So there's hundreds of articles and hundreds of news sites that you could find. These are just a few that I found. So the World Economic Forum, they're the think tank group that basically provides a lot of policies to the world. And the theme of the 2000 is the age of polycrisis. So you could check out the reports, and they say that within just this few couple of months, we're seeing return of older risks, inflation, cost of living crisis, trade wars, capital outflows from emerging markets, widespread social unrest, right now in France, they're protesting violently because of policies that the president of France is doing, geopolitical confrontation, the specter of nuclear war, which are few of this generation's business leaders or public policies have experienced. So we're in a time period where openly a nation that we are not friends with are talking openly every day, seemingly, about nuclear war. But we go about our business because it's so much saturation that we tend to, myself included, we tend to just be complacent. And because, you know, what can you do? Well, we could do a lot of things. We could pray more. We could seek God more. We could obey His word more. Many things we could do. So let's talk a little bit about how we got here. Within a few years, and I think it all started when the pandemic happened in 2020. We all know, we all experience it personally. We all have maybe loved ones that went through it worse than us and everything like that. But within a few short years, we see the pandemic of 2020 go into full effect around that year. And we got lockdowns, you got restrictions, we have mask mandates and all that stuff. Thankfully, even though our country went through a lot, we didn't go through as bad as other countries like Australia, which is totally a dictatorial country, and China and all these other countries. Even countries like little countries like Cambodia, they got mask mandate. They got all sorts of stuff too. Like, I'm thinking to myself, how could all these world leaders just decide all of a sudden to have the same policy, same everything all of a sudden? And so you got to thinking, well, it has to be coordinated somehow. You can't just all of a sudden come up with the same stuff. So I'm not going to elaborate too much on that because we, like I said, we've gone through this ourselves. Some of you got COVID and myself, and it was the worst sickness I've ever had in my life. I don't get sick that often, hardly ever. But that really knocked me down for almost 3 weeks. So imagine if there's something new in the pipeline in terms of sickness and calamities, in terms of pandemics. And Bill Gates already saying there might be another one soon. But look at the timeline now, 2021, we know about the election, the whole January 6th event, and then the whole supply chain issue, people not being able to get stuff, and there, you know, chip shortages and food shortages and like that. And then the Taliban returned to power, you know, that whole debacle. Then the COVID vaccine, and then 2022, Russia invades Ukraine and basically sets off, you know, potential World War III and global food disruption. We still are in a global food disruption mode because, you know, if you look at your grocery bills, you'll see how much food costs went up. Then in the middle of that, you have Congress holds first UFO hearing in half a century. Which is kind of odd in the middle of the pandemic. You got, you know, why now? Why put it in a bill to investigate this stuff? And then 2003, you got China and U.S. war rhetoric begins to heat up. You got talks of Taiwan being invaded by China. You got Russia with China colluding together and being buddies and buddies and all that stuff. So now, what you see now is more of UFO talks. So within the COVID stimulus bill that passed, I think 2020, there's a clause in there that says U.S. intelligence agencies have 180 days to share what they know about UFOs thanks to the COVID relief and spending bill, according to CNN. So why would they put something that even not even talked about? I mean, maybe yes, in conspiracy circles or just fringe type thing, but mainstream, why would you even mention something like that in the middle of a pandemic? So let's look in the Bible a little bit. I know, do we see any verses that seem to talk about UFOs or UFO-type situation? One I could think of is Ezekiel 13, Ezekiel 1, 13 through 16. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and the like appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as appearance of lightning, of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures, which his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and the work was like unto the color of beryl, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of the wheel. And you read the rest of that, it talks about, you know, it flying away and stuff like that. So UFO sightings and UFO has been around for centuries and thousands of years. There's a link in here to a list of some famous sightings and such. But all throughout antiquity and through modern day, you see and hear reports of UFO sightings. The National Defense Authority Act of fiscal year 2022 requires that the Director of National Intelligence, in consultation with the Secretary of Defense, to submit an annual report to Congress on unidentified aerial phenomenon. So you're going to see this a lot. They call it UAP, unidentified aerial phenomenon. They're changing the language from UFO to UAP, and there's a reason for that. So here's some links to the PDF. You want to check it out, you'll see the reports and such. So I just looked up a few articles and headlines. The military, and this is 2022 NPR, the military's UFO database now has info for about 400 reported incidents. 2023 January. Since it was formed last summer, the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office have received 366 reports of unidentified aerial phenomena. So more than 350. And CNN, the government received more than 350 reports. The Guardian. Something's going on. The UFO threatens national security, and U.S. politician warns. A group of senior American politicians have warned that the UFO poses national security concerns after getting a confidential briefing on the highly anticipated report on unidentified aerial phenomenon that's set to be released later this month. You're going to see this theme a lot. You're going to see threats. You're going to see warnings. You're going to see that all these UFOs are national security concerns, that we need to take this we don't need to take this lightly. We have to investigate. We have to put all our efforts into this. But you've got to ask the question, why now? Why all of a sudden, in the middle of all the turmoil we're going through, why now? I believe there's a reason. Because the devil knows he has but a short time. The devil knows that his timeline is short, his timeline is only to a certain point, and he has to accelerate, because we know that we're living in the last days. We know that the rapture could happen any moment. And I believe he's going to use the event of the rapture, the devil is, he's going to use that, the event of rapture to explain away why Christians disappeared. He's going to use UFOs and UFO events and invasions and stuff to explain it away. So while the popular belief of UFO and aliens is that they are extraterrestrial beings, there's actually people out there. This one's a famous one because they say it's verified by all the radars, all the interceptors and all the thing that they do to the monitor things, this is one that they can't explain. So 94% of all UFO sightings and stuff, and at least currently, they could explain away whether it be anomalies or fake or man-made stuff. But the 6% that they can't explain away, and this is one of them. So people like retired FBI agent, there's more stuff, but people like retired FBI agent John D'Souza, who is was 25 years in the FBI, in his book, The Extra Dimensionals, he says he believed that the aliens are true, but they're not from outer space. They're not extraterrestrial. They are spiritual in nature, and they're interdimensional, whatever that means. So here's a guy who's been in the FBI, basically heading the paranormal division of the FBI. Have you guys ever heard that back in the 80s, I believe, or early 90s, that TV show, The X-File, the first season was this, that the FBI agent, they use his cases for those, for that. So he believes that there are extra-dimensional beings that are spiritual, and that's the reason why you don't see them as much. They could disappear, and their craft could disappear and reappear. So the way he explains is that a lot of the craft that you see might be fake in terms of, not fake because some Joe Schmo did a craft, but fake within the U.S. government. They have technology that could be, that they have that, if you go back to that TikTok, they call it the TikTok, they have technology that would fly like that. But the difference between their technology and the real UFOs that they can't disappear at will. They can't like fly and then boom, gone. Whereas the real one, they could fly and disappear. So here's another article about, so this is the whistleblower program. Have you seen some of the congressional hearings and stuff? They are gathering whistleblowers and people in the Pentagon and the CIA and all that stuff coming forth to say, yeah, we believe there's UFOs and such and all that. So it's ramping up like crazy. And these are some of the more threats and security risks that the U.S. is saying. So a high intelligence report saying that, you know, these clearly pose a risk to our flight and national security. So you're going to see a whole bunch of that in the news and in the articles. And so here, Congress admitted that it does not believe all UFOs are man-made. So at one point, they believed that, well, this is all just conspiracy stuff. So now all these congressmen and all these people are just seemingly every day coming out with new reports of UFO sightings. So here we have a task force being created. The Department of Defense announced Tuesday that it created a new task force to go boldly where they have not gone before and track UFOs, see potential threats. Defense and intelligence officials will oversee the new task force. And just recently, just a couple of weeks ago, you probably might have seen this on the news, Pentagon UFO chief says alien mothership in our solar system possible. There is a possibility that extraterrestrial motherships and smaller probes may be visiting our planet and our solar system, the head of the Pentagon Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Research Office. So I'm bringing to you not a website from, you know, Alex Jones or whatnot, even though he might have some stuff that might be good and everything, but I'm just showing you mainstream media news. So if this is the case now where they're showing and they're telling you that this stuff is real this stuff we can't explain, or this stuff is shutting down our, you know, nuclear facilities and all that stuff. And this is an article that talks about the event in the 60s where these UFO, and these are the real UFOs, that basically flew over the Maelstrom Air Force Base. Let's read it. Two Air Force vets have testified to Pentagon UFO office about seeing mysterious objects turn off 10 nuclear warheads and blast test missiles out of the sky at the U.S. bases. Two Air Force vets told Daily News, DailyMail.com, they have testified about their experience with UFO interfering with the U.S. nuclear missiles. So the congressman that was in the hearing, he asked the person in charge of the UFO task force, well, do you know about this incident? And he said, well, we don't have the data to, we don't, basically says no. But even though all his documentation says yes, and this is not the first instance, there's many instances of where these UFO would shut down nuclear facilities and such. And so what's the reasoning behind that? You would think, why would the UFOs, if they're against us, why would they want to shut down nuclear weapons and stuff? Well, the prevailing thought in the UFO community is that most of the people that believe in UFO, they believe that they're good, that they are just a creature or a being that's in the universe, and they're trying to help humanity evolve to the next level and to become better citizens of the world, and to get rid of evil and to get rid of wars and get rid of and nuclear and stuff. So then I said to myself, well, if these aliens, and I believe there are devils in disguise, if these devils are wanting to disable nuclear weapons, what is the reasoning behind that? Don't these devils are our enemy when they want to have nuclear weapons and stuff? Then it dawns on me that they want to perceive, they want you to believe that they're peaceful. They want you to believe that they are looking out for the good of the human race. But like I said, we're living in a spiritual world, not just a physical world. Remember when Daniel, in the book of Daniel, the king was partying in the palace, and all of a sudden he saw a hand coming out of the wall and start writing, you know, the handwriting on the wall. So we are living in the day and age where the Bible talks about in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, and the last day there's going to be more demonic type activities. And I believe these UFOs are demonic in nature. Whether they say they're good or bad or whatnot, they're all demonic because it's not of God. So within the pandemic and the whole COVID stuff, the President Trump basically inaugurated the U.S. Space Force. So what is the U.S. Space Force? Well, the mission is here to organize, train, and equip guardians to conduct global space operation and enhance the way of our joint and coalition forces to fight. What are we fighting? Why do we need a space force to fight something out of space? Why? So it's kind of like, what's going on? We've never had a space force. We never had any inclination of believing that UFO is real. And within a few years, you have
space force.
You have, here's the official military website. Basically, it's beyond me. It's beyond the level of the speed of which everything is moving towards this deception is very scary. Again, more articles, more. It seems like every day there's something about UFO. And just recently, we know about the whole balloon issue and the whole unidentified, you know, flying whatever they say. Those are just small things, right? So when it really comes down to it, there's more big things in store. So here's basically, I did a Google search on UFO threats, and you can't see it, but if you look at my, if I view this in read mode, this thing will go all the way down for like pages and pages and pages of articles and links to all these news articles. So the Bible talks in the last days, Luke 21, and this mainly pertaining to the tribulation period, but I think is also a precursor to what's going on right now into the future. It talks about there will be signs in the sun and in the moons and in the stars and upon the earth, the stress of nations. Right now we have the stress of nations. Nations worrying whether or not they're going to have enough food for their people, whether or not they're going to be nuked by Russia or by Iran or by one of these nations. With perplexity in the sea and the waves roaring, we got unprecedented snow and rain in California and flooding all over the place. You got, like I said, tornado in Los Angeles, and that hasn't happened in like 40 years or so. You got snow in Hollywood in Los Angeles. My brother-in-law lives in California, and he's seen snow for the first time over there, and they haven't seen snow for 40 years over there, and people are going outside, and they're like shouting, and like, wow, this is so cool. So stuff like this. But the Bible talks about in the last day, woes unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is coming down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. This is still in the future, but I believe he's working overtime right now because he knows this is going to be fulfilled. He knows that he has a short time, so he's doing everything in his power to accelerate and to try to get us to believe this lie that he's portraying. So why now? We talk about why. What are they planning? I don't want to go too far into the rabbit hole and stuff because I don't think we have time for that. But when you go home, do some of your own research. There's a conspiracy or a project called Project Bluebeam that is basically, and it's training right now. Project Bluebeam is basically, according to the Indian Times of India, Project Bluebeam is a conspiracy theory about a supposed project whose purpose is to create an artificial second coming in order to control people. As per the alleged theory, the New World Order's purpose is to abolish all Christian and traditional religions in order to replace them with one world religion based on the cult of man. To abolish all national identities and national pride in order to establish a world identity and a world pride. 3, to abolish the family as known today in order to replace them with individuals all working for the glory of the New World Order. So this Project Bluebeam is a theory that was basically created by a French journalist. Let's read it here. Project Bluebeam is a conspiracy theory which claims that the NASA is attempting to implement a new age religion. So we know about the new age religion. It's not like we don't believe that. It's already in play with the whole transgender, with the whole Baphomet and then the cross-dressing and all that stuff is already here. So in this sense, it's true. We know that it's true. Then a new age of religion with Antichrist at its head. We talked about, you know, the Bible talks about the Antichrist coming. So it's going to start a new world order via technologically simulated second coming. So here's the difference that some of these guys that I mentioned, the difference between this theory and the theory I'm going to kind of show you is that these are using hologram type technology to like beam images of the Antichrist or image of Jesus or whatnot, and using holograms to beam fake videos or objects of UFOs and such. That's one line of thought. The other line of thought that no, this invasion, this fake thing is going to be real because they have technology, that the government does have technology to to fake a real UFO invasion, meaning that the stuff you're going to see is actually real spaceships and stuff that's going to be able to fire missiles and destroy cities and all that stuff. So thinking of it this way, if you were going to fake something, would you fake something with holographic type stuff where it's easily, like, we could probably figure it out pretty soon that that's not even real? Or you're going to fake something with something that's real, something that you could see where a city just got blown up with real weapons and stuff, but the premise behind it might be fake, but the technology and the instrumentation of it and the plan and everything is real. So according to, you know, John D'Souza and Dr. Stephen Greer and all these people, they believe that the UFO invasion is a real thing, and they're going to use it to explain away the rapture. They're going to use it to unite the world into a new world order, one world government, one world citizen type thing. So here, just a couple of days ago, a Harvard physicist is racing to prove that this meteorite is an alien probe. So a few years ago, there was a meteorite that basically came into our atmosphere, and according to this professor, he thinks that that meteorite is not a meteorite. It's like an alien probe. And then finally, this is a speech by President Ronald Reagan in 1987. So this stuff is going on for 75 years, ever since Roswell, even before that. The government and also the shadow government, they believe that they know all about the UFOs. They have technologies from them. They reverse engineer some of this stuff. So it's odd that in 1987, during a speech to the United Nations, that President Ronald Reagan spoke about this. It says, perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us realize, to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from the outside world. That's Ronald Reagan. That's not some conspiracy guy. Here is, now we can't play the audio because it's messed up, but I'm going to basically put some words in his mouth. Oh yeah, probably. But so basically what he's saying, that he believes with every fiber of his being that a fake UFO invasion would happen, that it would target military warships and airplanes, and that's gonna make the people fear so much that they're gonna give away all their rights. They're gonna join this one world global community, and we're gonna put away all differences, and we're gonna basically band together as a world type people, one world government. And he's saying that, so the reason why he's saying this is that the UFO, the UFP stuff in the news is old news now. Everybody's like, no, we heard that for about 2 years now. So the leaders or whoever's behind this thing is like, well, we have to do something because people are not interested in this anymore. So it's like a fad that they're afraid that they're not going to take it seriously. So, and the only way that they're going to rouse their attention now is to go through something like this. And I don't, you know, take it as you may, if you believe or not, doesn't really matter. We know that in the last days, there's going to be evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So the prevalence and intensity of the deception in these last days are quite alarming. The Bible not only indicates that these evil individuals are seducers and deceive others, but they are also being deceived. You notice Even men and seducers shall wax worse, deceiving and being deceived. So these men in high places and power, not only are they deceiving the people, that but they're being deceived as well. But being deceived by who? Well, there could be self-deception, there could be, but also they're probably being deceived by the devils and the evil spirits. I believe so. So there's another person here who, Dr. Van Brom, he's the NASA scientist that came over from Germany, and basically at his deathbed, he basically confessed that, yeah, he found, you know, UFOs and all that stuff. So what is our response to this, spiritually and physically? What can we do to mitigate the things that we just saw? Well, first of all, we want to be raptured up. That's the ultimate goal, right? We don't want to be here where the deception is so bad, so great, that it'd be hard to tell. We're living in a day right now where it's hard to tell. With the advent of AI technology and deepfakes, I could basically create a video of somebody saying something that they didn't say, or somebody doing something that they didn't do. Case in point, just a couple of days ago, when Donald Trump was supposed to be arrested, there's a picture of him all over the news, internet and stuff, of him resisting like 20 police officers and stuff. He's running away and the police officers chasing him, but it was all fake. It was done by a computer, and it was all around the news. And it was, and if a computer could do that, it could do a lot more things. So what should we do as from a spiritual perspective? Well, first of all, I believe we should get our family in order spiritually, because in Malachi, right, it talks about when Elijah and the two witnesses come, he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So part of the whole communist agenda and the whole movement of destroying the family, I believe, is to separate the father from the children, from the family and all that stuff. Well, the reasoning behind that is they want the children to be separate from the father because they don't want that authority figure. They don't want somebody that could help them navigate through the perils of life. They want that individual to be alone and then be dependent upon the government, dependent upon the Antichrist or whatnot to lead them. So the Bible talks about getting your family in order, you know, having devotions, having serious contemplation of what if the rapture happens tonight and I get left behind, or mom and dad gets left behind, or, you know, my siblings or the whole family get left behind. What are we going to do? Well, thankfully, we have the Bible as our guide, but we also need to spiritually prepare for that as well, spiritually and physically, because we might say, well, I could go through the tribulation period, all that stuff, and I'll figure then when that happens. But wouldn't it be prudent to figure out now, to figure out what we need spiritually to in order to be raptured up? So I really believe that we're living in a time where we have to examine our lives in regards to, you know, our family, our spiritual family, and just church in general, and just how are we doing as a son of God, as a daughter of God. Number two, take church seriously. The Bible talks about not forsaking the assembly. And, you know, one thing that helped me a lot is that my 20 plus years of being part of this church, if I'm not traveling or out of town, I'm here. Maybe when I got my appendix taken out, when I missed church, and when it was COVID, and that was, everybody missed church when COVID, but that was about it. So the importance of being in church and being part of God's family is a spiritual and a physical thing that will help you and protect you and lead you in the right way. Putting away childish things and childish mindset. Sometimes as Christians, we tend to have thoughts or have situations in our lives where we hold a grudge or we pout and we kick and scream. But we got to put away all that stuff because, like Brother Mike was saying last week, I believe, we don't have much time left. If we're blessed, maybe 10 years, you know, but I don't count on it because things are moving so fast. Things are moving in bottleneck speed. And we need to put away the child mentality. You know, there's a good way of being childlike, but there's also a bad way. The Bible talks about in Luke, you look up for your redemption is nigh at hand. That's thousands of years ago when that was said. So if it's nigh at hand at that time, how much more nigh at hand is it now? The Bible talks about the days of deception, and we are living the days of deception and the falling away of Christianity. We could see it within our own lives and our own experience with what we went through, of just people we know, people that we thought we could trust, falling away. And so some of the physical things, I follow a lot of prepping type stuff, because, you know, I did my documentary, but one of the prevailing line of thought in the prepping community is that they're not only storing up food and materials and stuff like that, but they're prepping themselves physically, their health. They are almost every single one of them said, man, if we don't have access to medicine and hospitals and stuff, I got to get my life, I got to get my health in check. I can't live in this world and be sickly and all that stuff. So, and stuff like that. Learn skills to survive. Learn how to plant a garden. Learn how to be neighborly to your neighbors and be able to exchange and trade and stuff. These are the things that, in my heart, in my mind, I've been trying to do, but it's hard sometimes because we're living in a fast-paced world and everything is just go, 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 go. And but having said all this, I could have said so many more things, but the premise that I want you guys and gals and ladies and gentlemen to come out of this is that there is a prevailing deception in this world, and it's not merely man-made deception, but it's a spiritual deception. And we are living in the end times, and we need to realize those deceptions. And when stuff you see in the news and stuff, you could see, okay, that's odd, or this is peculiar and all that stuff. We could see through some of that stuff. And not only it would help us, but it'll also help other people. If we disseminate that knowledge to people we know, friends and family and stuff, it could help them. It could be a matter of them believing what's going to happen and getting saved or stuff like that. So with that, let's close. And I thank you for your patience and pray that this could be news somehow just to wake people up, Father. We just pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much, God, for your mercies, and pray that you'll please hear our petitions regarding this subject that will be more spiritually equipped, Father, to withstand and go through these things. And we pray that we'll be raptured up, God, and that we could be found faithful and worthy, Lord God, in the first fruit rapture, Father. We pray that the young people, Lord God, would see and realize that this is serious. There's time to play and there's time to be children and such, but we're living in a time where we have to grow up sooner than we need to, Lord. And we pray that the young folks would see and want to renew their trust in you, Lord, and that they would not play around, because they might be left behind, Father, and if their parents get taken up and they're left behind by themselves or by, you know, with another sibling, and they need to know what's coming, Father, and we all need to know all this, God. We pray, Father, for forgiveness of sins, God. We ask that you'll please embolden us to be more of an ambassador to you and to your gospel and to the truth, God. We pray. We thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.